Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. It's funny, it's Sunday. It was a 3-day weekend we just had. Now we've got another day. 4-day weekend.
3-day weekend.
2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos.
A weekend, a year beginning.
I was missed because I got on the subway this morning and one of my fellow riders asked me about that, where I was.
Uh-huh.
Not exactly that way, but the...
Okay. Well, you're back now. You'll be missed a few more times as well, probably.
Huh?
Over Sukkot, you'll also be missed.
I told them that, too. We had plenty of time, so I had told them that, too.
Okay. So, last time, which was... I apologize, we missed a few weeks. We were away a week and we ran a trip a week. So last time we just saw the introduction to the case of Hababa Machteris, a person who is tunneling in, that if he is tunneling in, then we saw the Pasuk told us, Imba Machteris Yematze Haganav, if in the tunnel the Ganav is found, the hookah, and he is hit, the mace, and he dies, ein loy damim, he does not have blood. Im zorcha hashemesh alav, if the sun shines upon him, damim loy, he does have blood, shalem yeshalem, he will surely pay. Im ein loy benimkar b'gnei v'asei, and if he doesn't have what to pay with, then he is sold in his thievery, whatever he stole. He's going to be sold as a slave, as an eved. Okay, so
could you show me exactly?
Sure, we're going to be starting from the Mishnah, right there from the Mishnah. Okay, so we were trying to understand exactly what this Mishnah is talking about. I think we got it clear what the Mishnah is talking about, that if a guy is tunneling in, yeah, and the homeowner sees him, and he hits him in self-defense, ein loy damim, yeah, he hits him and he kills him in self-defense, ein loy damim, he does not have blood. Okay, so this, we were trying to understand what this means. Ein lo damim. What does it mean that he does not have blood? Okay, so...
one would say that he's innocent.
Who is it talking about? Who has blood, who doesn't have blood?
The one who's been invaded.
The one who's been invaded does not have blood.
Yes.
He's dead?
That means he killed the invader. But since it's invaded at night, he's protecting himself.
Okay, so you would interpret it as ein lo damim b'yadov.
Right.
He doesn't have blood on his hands.
Correct.
Okay, but it doesn't say that. Yeah, the verse is over here. There it is.
Okay.
Ain lo damim. He doesn't have blood. Who are we talking about? Who doesn't have blood? Professor?
You're going to tell us.
Hmm?
You're going to tell me. This is what we're going to puzzle out.
Okay. So let's try to work it out. Now, if you remember, last time we saw the previous... We spoke about the previous Gemara. In fact, the Perek is entitled Ben Soira Umoira. It discusses the Ben Soira Umoira. And we know that the halacha, the din of the Ben Soira Umoira, is that this child, although he is innocent, yeah, he hasn't done anything, he's just got a very, very healthy appetite for fine meat and fine Italian wines, yeah, he hasn't done anything, But nevertheless, we're going to take him El Shar Ha'ir, El Shar Makaymai, to the gate of the city, to the gate of the place that he lives, and we're going to stone him. The parents are going to stone him. Yeah, after the whole process of warning and in front of the Beis Din, we're going to stone him. Why? He hasn't done anything. And the Gemara answers, as the Gemara asks, V'chi mipnei she'achozeh tartim ha'basa v'shasa chet silug yayin, on the second line, on the right from the here. V'chi mipnei she'achozeh tartim ha'basa v'shasa chet silug yayin. This guy ate some basar, and he drank some yayin hayitalki, Italian wine. Omer Torah yetzi le'Beis Din lisakel. The Torah says, take him out to the Beis Din to get stoned. Yeah, does that punishment fit the crime? Ella answers the Gemara. Rather, higia Torah l'seif daitei shel ben sayro moira. The Torah arrived at the end point, the result of this ben sayro moira.
Even though he hasn't done anything yet.
But at the end, what's going to happen? Shasayf. That eventually, what's going to happen is Migmar Nichse Aviv. He's going to steal his father's property, possessions, to money, to pay for his habit, to sustain his habit. Umavakesh Limudai, for his habit. Ve'ena Maitzi. And his father's going to run out of money because he's taken it all. The Yotzei LeParshas Drachim, so he's going to go out to the crossroads, Umelastim es Abrias, and he's going to end up killing people for their money. Omra Torah, the Torah says, Yomus Zakai. We would rather, Hashem would rather this child die with merit, die with Zoicha, die with Zakai, Val Yomus Chayev. He shouldn't die Chayev.
The rabbi in his
Shabbos drasha
said that Yishmael hasn't done anything wrong.
Excellent.
Yet
we dealt with this question in a class that I gave a couple of weeks ago. There are a few answers to the question. It does seem like a contradiction. On the one hand, over here, Ben Sayro Moira, we're nidoin al shem Sofai, right, giving the judgment at the end, and by Yishmael, we see Ba'asher Husham is judged for where he is. Great question. Think about it. But we see the concept over here that this Ben Sayro Moira is nidoin al shem Sofai. He's judged based on the end result, and at the end, he's going to be a murderer. So we'll kill him now, so that he actually does the deed, so he can die zakai and not die chayev. He can die innocent and not die guilty. So we see over here the concept, the perek that we're learning now, Ben Sayro Moira, deals with the concept of nidoin al shem sofai, that a person is judged based on the outcome. Yeah, Nidoin, he's judged al shame on the name of on the Seif of the end. So over here too we have the same situation. Says our Mishnah over here, Haboba Machteres, the one who is coming tunneling into your house, Nidoin al shame Seifai, he is judged based on the outcome. That's in our Mishnah. Which is there. Hababa Machteres, Nidain al Shem Sofai. Okay, so that's why our Mishnah is now coming onto a seeming different,
that's the
comparison. Changing. That's the comparison. That's why we're leading now onto Hababa Machteres, because the din is the same. He is Nidain al Shem Sofai. Now, for our situation, for our case, what's the Sofai?
It's quite likely that he may attack you.
Okay.
So, therefore, you have to take defensive action.
Okay. Good. Good. Simply put, very, very, very nicely put. Okay. So that is the first bava of the Mishnah. That's the first case of the Mishnah that the Mishnah discusses. It doesn't give actually any information. It's assuming that we know already what the din is of Habav Machteres. We do, because we saw the pasuk about Habav Machteres. Nidun al shem sefer. He is judged based on his outcome. Doesn't tell us what to do, but that is the judgment that he gets. Okay. Hoya Baba Machteres. Now we're going to see a bit more of the Mishnah. This is going to be a little bit cryptic. We're not really going to understand very much of what's going on here until we get later into the Gemara. We'll see how to decipher this. But we'll see it anyway now. If he was coming in a tunnel, v'shaver es ha-chavis, and he broke the chavis.
That's the barrel?
Ah, very good. Not the cud.
Probably a jug.
Huh?
Not the jug.
Not a jug.
Not a jug. And he broke the barrel. Im yesh lo damim, if he has blood, chayiv. He is obligated. Im ein lo damim, pata. If he doesn't have blood, then he is exempt. Okay, chayiv for what? Exempt for what? Yesh lo damim? Ein lo damim? He has blood. He doesn't have blood. What?
He just broke
what do you
a
mean?
Barrel.
He has blood or he doesn't have blood?
How do you get blood from breaking a barrel?
What does it mean, you have blood?
Got to see.
Ah, okay. So let's see. So now we're going to venture into the Gemara and we'll hopefully shed some light on this cryptic Mishnah of ours. Omar Rava. Says Rava. My timer to Machteres. What is the reason behind this machteres? Now, the question, yeah? What's the question? What do you mean, what is the reason for machteres? What's the reason for machteres? What's the question?
I figure just keep going and see what he has to say.
Oh, you see the answer. By the answer, you'll see the question.
Yeah.
That's a very, you've got big problems when you do that. Big problems. Because when you read a question, you have some sort of understanding of what it's saying. You have a concept, a conceptual notion, a hanacha, as we call it. A havamina. How do you translate havamina?
Where is this going? Or
a preconceived notion.
Okay.
You have some sort of understanding of it. Then, when you see an answer, that is usually when you how you read the answer is usually how you have understood the question. Yeah?
Yeah.
How you've understood the question, and that's how you're going to see the answer. Therefore, you're going to mess up the answer. The answer is going to, you're going to make the answer crooked because it's got to fit into your conceptual cage. Yeah, and if it doesn't fit in, you're going to squeeze it in and try to make it work and make it make sense. Yeah, so the most important thing is we always have to understand the question. We really have to understand the question. Yeah, before we come to see an answer, we have to understand the question. Okay, so we are not going to see the answer yet. We're going to try to understand the question. My timer de machteres. Now, what could we be asking?
Why does it have to be a tunnel he's coming in?
Huh?
Why does he have to be breaking in via a tunnel?
Okay.
Why can't he be breaking in?
Could it be, what's the reason that the tunnel is 6 feet tall, or what's the reason about some arbitrary thing about a tunnel? Why did it happen to be a tunnel? Why did it happen to be a... It's an arbitrary fact. We don't know anything yet. Yeah, the only thing we know so far about Machteres... Yeah, what do we know about Habab Machteres? What do we know about Habab Machteres? What's the din? The din is, when a guy is tunneling in, and you kill him...
You get off free.
You get off free. Ein lo damim. We still really don't yet understand exactly what ein lo damim means. Yeah, but yeah, this is what we want to understand. What is the reason for the din of machteres? Okay, what is the din? We said nidon al shem sefer, that he is judged based on an outcome. Right, that should be the answer. But over here, what we're trying to do is we're trying to expand it. We're trying to understand what really is the reason. What's the mechanics of what's going on in the situation of Habav Machteris? This is very similar to the question that was asked previously by Ben Sarimayra. Yeah, what is the reason? Why is this guy killed? This kid is killed. He hasn't done anything. He's only eaten some basa v'yayin. Yeah, that's all he's done. So what's the reason that he's killed?
In this case, he's tunneling.
So we want to understand what is the reason. So this is how Rashi understands it. So have a look at Rashi. The first Rashi on the Gemara. My time about the Machteris.
All right.
And now we're going to finally understand what it means, Ein Lo Damim. My time of the Machteris. What is the reason of Machteris? She'omra Torah, that the Torah said about Machteris, Ein Lo Damim. Yep, that's the question. What is the reason of Machteris that the Torah says Ein Lo Damim? What does Ein Lo Damim mean? Kloimar. That is to say, that means, Hare Hu Lecha, behold, he is to you, Kami She'ein Lo Damim, just like a person who is walking around who does not have any blood. Unashama, or neshama, or soul. Umuta Lahargai. Therefore, you're allowed to kill him. Yeah, are you allowed to kill a dead person? Yeah, well, a person who doesn't have blood, are they alive? No, they're dead. A person doesn't have blood. If you would suck all the blood out of someone, they would die, right? So a person who does not have blood is essentially dead. Yeah, a dead person you can kill. So when we say Ein Lo Damim, what we're saying is that guy, he doesn't have blood. The practical ramifications of the fact that he doesn't have blood is that if I come along and kill him, I am not going to be guilty. I do not have, as the art scroll translates it, blood guilt. Yeah,
okay,
because this guy doesn't have blood.
You find a corpse and you shoot it. What is
nothing?
Your, huh?
Nothing. The person's dead. They're dead. You can't kill them twice. Okay, it's not covered mace. It's not an honorable way to treat a dead body.
But you're not a murderer.
Of covered mace. You're not a murderer. So this is what we mean. Ein Lo Damim means technically, essentially, although this guy is living, breathing, walking around, yeah, he looks like he's got blood rubbing around his body, the Torah sees it as if this person does not have blood. For what ramification? For the ramification that if you go ahead and kill him, you are not guilty.
Because he's already, even though he's walking around, he's forfeit, basically.
The Torah says it's as if he doesn't have blood. He's not alive. For the nafka minute is that, could you count him for a minion? Is he like alive for that? Yeah. I mean, technically he's alive. But the ramification is, the nafka minute is the fact that if you go ahead and kill him, you didn't kill, you killed a dead person.
It's as if he was dead.
As we call it, mana tavira tavar. Yeah, when you throw something off a roof. Yeah, and it's about to smash on the floor, and someone came along and whacked it on the way down. The second person is exempt, is pata, because mana tavira tava, he broke a broken object. Okay, technically it wasn't yet officially broken because it hadn't yet hit the ground, but it's mana tavira tava. It's already broken. It goes a few seconds away from destruction. Yeah, so you killed a dead man. Ein Lo Damim. He doesn't have any blood.
Now, does this have? So that's the extension of that concept. You threw something off the roof, and it's going to break. And the only way that it's not going to break if someone caught it or something. But the person that you're talking about wants to destroy it anyway. but it's already destroyed because. All right.
Yeah, there's a Mishnah that brings another case about someone threw a baby off a roof, and then someone came along and killed the baby on the way down.
And so that's the same thing.
I believe so. I don't remember what the din is.
See, that would be exactly the opposite of civil law.
Opposite of
civil 20th century civil
law. Civil law
The one who administers the final,
The
one who administers the final death blow.
That's a totally different case. That's a different situation. What if you have 10 people that are beating someone up? Yeah, one person gave a whack, another person gave a whack, another person gave a whack, and then a 10th man came along and whacked him, and he died. His blow wasn't strong enough to kill this person.
So all
if it wouldn't have been for the previous 9 people.
So it means all 10 people are guilty?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Not in American civil law. The 10th guy would get hung. Hanged.
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 Well, and the one in a place that there is...
And the one that chopped off the head of the falling person, he would get hanged. See, it's exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But for our mission over here, we see that Habob Machteris, when we're asking the question, my timer de Machteris, Rashi says, what it means is, what is the reason for Machteris that Ein Lo Damim, that he doesn't have any blood? That what made it, what is the reason that this guy is walking around without blood? What made him lose his blood? Yeah, that's the question we're trying to understand.
Because you just said he's forfeit. So
what is the reason that he's forfeited his blood?
Because of his future.
So essentially what we're asking is, what is the future? So let's have a look. Let's have a look at the Gemara now. Answers the Gemara. Omar Rava, my time to Machteres. What is the reason for Machteres? Chazaka. There is a very, very strong assumption. Ein odem maimid atzmai al mamoinai. That a person will not hold back when it comes to his possessions. Yeah, my possessions. You're breaking into my house to steal my candlesticks. I'm not going to be pushed over.
But who's to know that you're going to stop at that?
Vahai. And so this one who's breaking in, Meimar Omar, will surely say, as he's burrowing and tunneling and tunneling and taking weeks to tunnel in over here, Iazilna, if I go, what's going to happen? I'm going to try to be quiet, but it could be, you know, I'll knock something over as I walk in, and the guy's going to be there, the guy might be awake, and then Kaila Apai, he's going to stand up in front of me, stand up to my face, and he's not going to let me steal his candlesticks. V'loy shavikli, he's not going to let me. V'i kaila apai, and if he stands up to me, katilnele, I'm going to kill him. V'atoyra omra, and the Torah says, imbo lahargecha, if a person is coming to kill you, Hashkem lahargo, you should get up to kill him. Self-defense, to precede him killing you, you should get up to kill him.
Which means that we should knock off Kim Jong-un?
Yes. Someone definitely should knock him off. Was that recorded?
I'm working from the Talmud.
I mean, it has to be clear that they're actually a potential threat and life threatening your life.
Okay.
But if it is clear that there are a potential threat to your life, then absolutely you have a mitzvah hashkem lahargo. You should get up to kill him first. Okay. So this is the assumption that's being made over here. What's happening? A guy's tunneling in. He's spent a long time burrowing in, digging this tunnel into your house. And so what's going through his mind is that when he comes in, he wants to steal those candlesticks. He really wants to steal those candlesticks or the VCR. You probably still have a VCR.
How do you spell that?
But yet the
VCR. Like
the
the
candlesticks aren't worth that much.
The candlesticks together with the jewelry and maybe some.
So we're not limited to what you're thinking about, and neither is the thief.
But when this thief walks in, he knows that there's a chazaka. Yeah, he knows that if the homeowner wakes up, he is definitely going to stand in his way and say, no way are you stealing my stuff. Yeah? So, in order for him to be able to complete his dastardly deed
of
stealing his candlesticks, he's anticipating the guy's going to stand up in front of him. But he wants to steal his candlesticks. So what he's going to do is he's going to kill the homeowner in order to keep a standing.
And he's going through all this effort.
Is what is going to happen. That is what's going to happen. That is the safe. That's the end of what's going to happen. When you burrow in, the assumption is that it will lead to a death. That the burglar is going to kill the homeowner. Therefore, because of that, he is deemed a redif. Yeah, even before he's even seen you, he's deemed a redif. And while he's still in that tunnel, yeah, before he with his back to you, cold-blooded.
So he hasn't even got. He's just about gotten in.
He hasn't even seen you. You take his head off. Because the Torah says, "Habo'im bolok alahargecha." Person come to kill you. Hashkim laharge. You get up and kill him first.
And you're innocent.
Yep. Now this is based on a concept called redif. Redif is a very interesting concept. I heard this idea put this way from Rabbi Yitzchak Breitowitz, who is a tremendous goyin Talmud Chacham. He's one of the I don't know how to describe him. He teaches in Or Sameach, but he's big, but he's just a Maggid Shir. He's very, very big stuff. So he explains it like this. There are three, there is a rule and an exception to the rule and an exception to that rule. Okay, the rule, there's a rule, and there's an exception to the rule, and then there's an exception to that exception. Yeah, the rule is v'chai bohem. All of the mitzvahs in the Torah, im omar lecha yavor, if a person tells you transgress this mitzvah, or I'm going to kill you, then Yavo ve'al yiharik. You should transgress the mitzvah and don't be killed over it. Yeah, because the Torah says v'chai bohem. You have to live with the mitzvahs. Yeah, that's the rule. The rule is pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is doicha, or it's matir. Yeah, pikuach nefesh allows any mitzvah is totally allowed. Yeah, treif food. You don't make a bracha on treif food. If you have to eat that food for the sake of your health, you make a bracha because it's now kosher for you.
For you,
it's 100% kosher
under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances, you can't make chas v'shalom. You can't make a bracha on a cheeseburger. Yeah, make a bracha on a cheeseburger. Are you mad? No, but if
it's life and
according
death,
according to halacha, you would be commanded to eat that cheeseburger. You needed to eat that cheeseburger. Then you would make a bracha on it because that food is kosher for you. Okay. No, it would be a regular hamayis lechem in aretz, not a hamburger. There is a bracha before taking medicine. A bracha that we say before taking medicine. We don't say it with shame and malchus. We say yehi ratzon milfonecha Hashem elokeinu velokeinu v'zeinu sheyehei esek zeh li lirefua. This esek should be a refua for me. Ki reifei chinam ata. Because you are a reifei chinam. And then after we take the medicine, we say baruch reifei chaylim. But we say it without shame. You say, Yehi Ratzoyin Sheyehe. Without, not the Elokeinu V'Elokeinu. Yeah, so that's the rule. The rule is, yeah, if someone says to you, do any of the mitzvahs, transgress any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, or I'll kill you, then avor v'al yeharig. Transgress it and don't get killed. Okay, that is the rule. There are three exceptions to this rule. Yeah, those are the three big ones. Yeah, the three cardinal sins of avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. Yeah, idolatry, immorality, and murder. Yeah, that is an exception to the rule. In the situation of any of these three mitzvahs, we say yehoreg va'al ya'avor. Yeah, these ones are so severe. Yeah, actually, I mean, that's already Dorish time at a kra, giving a reason for the pasuk. The Torah says, there's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, darshans and finds droshas that basically shows us that they are yeharig val yavor. But that is an exception to the rule. These big three, we're going to say, you should rather be killed and don't transgress the big three. Okay? So we've seen the rule, we've seen an exception to the rule, now we have the exception to the exception. The exception to the exception is that if the person that you would have to kill, right? Someone saying to you, Yehare, yeah, kill this person or I'll kill you. Right? If they say, kill this person or you'll be killed. So we say, you should rather be killed. Unless the person that you have been told to kill
is trying
to kill you. In such a situation, we'll say that you should kill him. Hashkeim lahargay.
Because that's a whole different case.
Because he has a din of redif. Yeah, so in a case where they're saying, kill him or I'll kill you, you can't do that. Unless the person, right, essentially they're telling you, you know, kill him or I'll kill you. If the person is trying to kill you, then you are allowed to kill him. Yeah, that is the exception to the exception of the rule. Okay? And this is the case of Radef, and this is our case right here, that we have this guy who is tunneling in, and he, and there's a chazaka that the homeowner is not going to stand by and let a gunner steal his property. Yeah, he's going to stand up to him.
More serious things.
Right, so then the gunner already knows this, and seeing as he's put in a lot of effort into tunneling in, he's going to go ahead and kill you. So therefore, seeing as he has a din of a roidef, we say, nidon al shem sofai, he's judged based on the sof, on the end, or the outcome, and you are allowed to kill ein loy damim, he doesn't have blood. You kill him, you're off the hook. Okay? So this is the mechanics of Hababa Machteris. Now, the Yad Ramah, who is one of the primary Mefarshim commentaries on Maseches Sanhedrin, he asks a very powerful question. Yeah, the question is that he presents is, one second, mechanically, yeah, mathematically speaking, who's the Roidef?
the thief.
Okay, so that's what we've said. The thief is the Roidef. Why? Because he's going to be tunneling in, and the guy that's going to stand up against him, and therefore he's going to kill him, therefore he's rendered as a Roidef. Yad Ramah asks, is that really who the Roidef is? Why is the Ganav, at which stage or which point is the Ganav going to be rendered a Roidef? He's only going to be rendered a Roidef because of the chazaka that the Balabayis isn't going to be Maimed Atzmei Amamayno. He's going to stand up to him. And therefore, when he stands up to him, and the Ganav is going to try to kill him, so he's allowed to kill him back. The Yad Ramah asks that essentially, who's the Roidef? The Balabayis should be the Roidef.
Why would you say that? Because he's doing the he's taking the first action?
He's taking the first action. Rather, we should say the Balabais knows that the Ganav is going to go ahead and kill him. Yeah? If he stands up in his face. And therefore, he's going to be allowed to kill him. So we should rather say, Balabais, hide. Hide. Don't stand up in his face. If you stand up in his face, then he's going to want to kill you. You're going to go and end up killing him. You are a Raidef. The fact that you're standing up against him.
You as the Balabais should be running away.
You as the Balabais, says the Yad Ramah, you as the Balabais should rather run away. If you don't run away, you are rendering him Ein Lo Damim. You took his blood away. You are the one that killed him. You are the one that was the Raidef.
So this becomes less than theoretical.
Professor, what do you say?
Same thing. It's all theoretical.
Well, if you're in the situation, it's not theoretical.
Well, let's try to argue that one. Argue for that. Okay, so he's there, and you know, somebody tunneling. He makes a lot of noise while he's tunneling. There's no such thing as silent tunneling. And this Balabais obviously can't sleep through it. He's
waiting. You're not in a laboratory.
I thought you said we were.
You came out of the laboratory.
Oh.
Get back in the lab. Silent tunneling.
I thought you wanted me to. It has to be silent tunneling.
Yep. That's all we don't know that it was loud tunneling.
Well, if it's silent tunneling, then he doesn't know the guy's going to pop out of the tunnel. Doesn't know. He can't run away ahead of time because he's not expecting the guy to.
Now you're adding another variable. Stay back in the lab.
The guy is just
do the most. You have to envision. Speak out the most simple, basic case. A simple, basic case is he didn't know he was tunneling in.
Doesn't
he pops up?
Oh, he's popped up already. Okay.
He's popped up, but he's facing the other way. He hasn't seen him yet.
Who's facing the other way?
The Ganav. Has not seen the Balabais yet.
The Ganav pops up and has not seen the Balabais. And has the Balabais seen the Ganav?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So he's got two options over there.
So you've got two men in a room. Okay.
So the Balabais has two options. He could either... Maimi that's my alma moinai. Yeah? Stand up to the Ganav. So he's not going to steal my property. Or he could run away. Hide. Make it as if he didn't see the Ganav. So the Yad Ramah says, or questions, that when the Torah says that if he stands up against him and he's allowed to stand up against him because it's a chazaka that he's going to stand up against him and then the Ganav is going to go ahead and kill him and then he can kill him back, Yad Ramah says, yeah, but all of this is only happening when the end, yeah, the saif is really that the Balabais is going to kill him. That's the saif. This mechanic is back and forth. This guy's going to stand up, and that guy's going to take him, and then he's going to end up killing him. He'll be allowed to. Ain't like dumb. It's only that's the saif. The saif is, if he stands up to him, the saif is the Balabais is going to be killing this burglar. Because of the back and forth of the technicalities of Raidef. That's only happening because the Balabais is Maimedatz Mayama Mainai. If the Balabais would hide in a closet, he's not going to end up killing him. So maybe, ask the Yad Ramah, the Balabais is the Raidef. He's the one that's bringing about all of this chain reaction. That's the word, it's a chain reaction. He's the one that starts the chain reaction. He's the Raidef. You hear the question?
Yeah.
You have an answer?
No, I'm waiting. I'm going to get answers.
Yeah, the problem is I don't remember the answer because I learnt this so many years ago in Yeshiva.
Oh, my.
So I don't remember the answer of the Ad Ramah. What would you say, though? What would you say? A few thoughts that are going through my head of what we could say. One is that you can't say that the essentially innocent, bystander, bala bias, can be.
Okay, you keep a gun next to your bed. For protection.
Oh. You're a Radif.
Automatically.
According to the Ad Ramah.
Okay.
You're a Radif. Because if a burglar comes in, then he's going to see that you've got a gun. He's going to try to shoot you. You can shoot him first. Self-defense. Homeowner. We can't say that he's guilty. You can't say that he's guilty. There's a half a minute that you could say that he's guilty.
He hasn't done anything.
He's only a bystander. He's only trying to self-defense.
Because he's never seen this thief before. And if you saw him in the street, just pass him by.
Right. Yeah. Another thing you could say is that he only became a roidef because of the fact that the burglar is a roidef. So in this chain reaction, he only became a roidef retroactively, looking about at the fact that seeing as he's going to stand by his money and he's not going to let the guy steal the money, then he turns into a roidef. Oh, so now I can kill him because he became a roidef. Now, retroactively, we'll see that it all only started because he stood up against him. So that is that gives him the title of a roidef. You can't say that gives him a title of a roidef. He only became a roidef because the burglar is the roidef. So it's the wrong way around. You can't look at it retroactively. Retroactively, we'll say that, 20/20 hindsight, he's a roidef. No, but he only became a Radif because at some point the burglar became the Radif. So that's a couple of answers that we could give to a question of the Yad Ramah. It's a tricky question that he's asking.
But once he's decided he's going to protect his property, then he's a Radif.
No.
Because he doesn't have to protect
his
property.
Once he's decided he's going to protect his property, then the Ganav is going to kill him. Oh, now I can kill him back. So retroactive, at this point when I'm standing up against him, I'm not a roidef.
Well, you don't have to stand up against him, so you are a roidef. You're willing to kill him.
The point that I'm standing up to him, I am nothing. After I stand up against him, then he's going to want to kill me, and then I'm going to kill him back. Oh, so you can't say that made me a roidef when I first stood up against him.
What does it mean?
When I stood up against him, I was just trying to protect my money.
You were just sleeping in bed or something?
Yeah, I was just trying to protect my money. So, Enochinami, later on, looking in hindsight, we could call me a roidef because I didn't have to stand up against him. But the point that I stood up against him, I'm not a roidef.
Once you stand up against him, what does it mean to stand up against him?
It means, no, you're not taking my candlesticks.
What does that mean? What does it mean? It means I'm prepared to kill you.
No.
You're not taking it. What does it mean if I say
I'm not a murderer. I'm not a murderer.
Who are you? Are you the tunneler or are you the...
No. If I could protect my Leichter by just pushing out the door or calling the police, then I'd do that.
You can't call the police in those days. There's no telephones. There's no way to call the police. You can't yell. Nobody's going to hear you. It's the middle of the night. Everybody's sleeping.
Get back in the lab, man, Professor.
In fact, if you never built that house, then the guy couldn't have tunneled.
Oh, there you go, right? So really, for sure you're the Reidei. Actually, the building contractor is probably the Reidei because he built the house and probably allowed for some space between the foundations to allow him to grow there.
You made an attractive target.
Yeah, so what you're saying, Professor, is Ein L'Davar Sof. If we're going to have these retroactive calculations, if we're going to add chain reactions to it, Ein L'Davar Sof. Yeah, who's the Reidei? The milkman was the Reidei because he was the person that didn't... No, a Reidei is a person who would take the first step. Yeah, the first step in escalating... The escalating step that would escalate it from a simple case and protecting money to being willing to kill. Yeah, that the person who would take that first step of escalation, he is the Reidei.
Protecting money means willing to kill.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't say protecting money. You're not protecting it if you're not willing to kill. Either you let him take it or you're willing to kill to keep him from taking it.
When I stand to protect my money, that's not a state. I didn't escalate anything. I was just doing the normal, sensible thing of just protecting my money.
If you had stood aside, he can just come and take it. If you stand up to him, if you're protecting it, it means you are going to do whatever it takes to protect it.
No, you escalated. I escalated it from nothing to something, okay. But I didn't escalate it to nefashos. I didn't escalate it to the level of
radius. Before, he was only going to take it. He wasn't going to kill you. But because you stood up now, he's going to have to kill you. You are the one who...
That's the question of the Adramah.
Okay.
That's exactly the question of the Adramah. So he's only going to kill you because you said it. So you are the one... So we're saying that, no, you didn't escalate it to the level of Reidei. He was the one who took that first step of Reidei. One, yeah, that was the second answer we gave. The first answer we gave is that you're just an innocent homeowner. Yeah, just a simply chazaka. You want to protect your money. They can't say that you're a Reidei for that. You're just simply doing the act of protecting your money.
On the other hand,
Chinami, then it escalated it to something. No, but you're just protecting money. That we can't say you're going to get a level.
Well,
of
on the other hand, you asked me to try to make him a Reidei.
We're trying to answer the question of Yadrima now.
You can't tell a thief. Hold on, I have to go to the rabbi and have them discuss what the problem is. Then I might come back and shoot you.
Yeah, well, you could do that.
You could do that. He might shoot you first. Yeah. So the only thing I am thinking is, say that a father should not. I think the Gemara speaks about it. That a father should not wind his child up to a great extent.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know exactly. Because then the child might hit the father. But that we don't say it's Reidei. We say that the issue is Lifnei Iver. So you're doing Lifnei Iver.
Yep.
The fact that you're putting that stumbling block in front of the child. Yes, yeah,
so this seems like another case.
So this I think it would be a couple of suggestions to how to answer the Yad Ramah. So that's the first stage over here, understanding how this guy is, why is it, answering the question, my timer, what is the reason of Machteris? Why is it the Ein Leidamim? The answer is because he became a Reidei. When he tunneled into you, he became a Reidei because there's a chazaka he's not going to stand up against you. Therefore, in his... Really, we could say again another answer that he was the first person that escalated. Yeah, he was the first escalator.
He initiated the whole business
because when he tunneled in, he knew what was going to happen. He knows there's a chazaka ein adam ma'imedat spel mamoino, and he still tunneled in nevertheless.
He's prepared to do it.
He is prepared. His kavana with tunneling in is, I'm going to murder someone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the third answer. I think that might be the answer of the Adrama. That might be the answer that he gives. That was his first, his,
I thought that's where we started, though. Barry, if somebody tunneled into your house to steal your bus schedules, would you kill them?
No. Not over bus schedules.
Train schedule.
Well, maybe train schedules.
Sorry, my questions are making Dan laugh over there.
How can you not laugh? Yeah. Smiling.
Okay, Shkoyach, Rabbi Yisrael.
Shkoyach.
So this is, seems like another case of the more I know, the less I know.
Oh.
The more you know, the more you know. But the more you know, the more you realize, the less you know.
Incidentally, there's a difference between a thief and a burglar. The term,
oh, okay.
The thief and a burglar. A burglar.